so it sounds more like this. With Capital One, you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. Get started now at a Capital One location or online. Sound good to you? This is Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Approval required. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Key, I heard you tried out for the NHL since it's back on ESPN. Is this true?
Yes, I did. They had me try out in the middle of the night the other night. I didn't tell anybody, though. I just figured, hey, why not? You know, maybe I'll go out and throw the first puck out or something one day or whatever. Or is it drop the puck? Which one is it?
Throw the puck out? What are you talking about? That's a puck toss.
Yeah, toss. Drop the puck.
Key, J, and Max. Mornings on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover. We're here from head coach Tim Rebo of your Colonels, Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave, Frank Selfo, the Lions at 1:45. Kristen Clark covers your Pelicans at 2:15. We'll hear from him as well as the Pelicans. We'll get ready to tip off the regular season tomorrow. The NBA starts tonight. Nets at the Bucks, 6:30 TNT, followed by Warriors at the Lakers. And I have found that, per Steve Kerr, they are targeting the Christmas Day game against the Suns for Klay Thompson to come back. So he won't be available tonight, as Jordan brought that up back in Top Stories at the bottom of last hour, as to when he's going to be back. So he won't be coming back all the way to December, but it will be the Lakers and Warriors tonight on TNT, the late game starting at 9. And, of course, you also have some baseball going on as well as last night, the Red Sox. Did you see that game winning? And they play again tonight, 7 o'clock on FS1. Braves and Dodgers, an early game over in L.A. on TBS as, I don't know, I guess they didn't want to compete with the NBA or something. That was so weird that you won't have the Dodgers in a late game later tonight. But the Braves and Dodgers, game 3, Atlanta leads that series 2-0. 4:08 on TBS, and at 7:08 on FS1, Astros and Red Sox, and stay classy, Boston. Yesterday during the post-game show, chanting F-U, A-Rod, so loud that literally, I thought my TV went out. They were muting. They muted the microphones of Alex Rodriguez, Big Poppy, Frank Thomas, and the host over there. They're obnoxious. I mean, I'm all about yelling Big Poppy and Yankees suck, which they did for most of the 30 minute. But, the first 5 to 10 minutes, yeah, bleep you, A-Rod. So Fox literally muted their pregame show. You saw people talking, but you had no audio. And that's what happens, I guess, when you go out there. So there you have it. So anyway, Astros and Red Sox, coming up at 7 o'clock, Braves and Dodgers. We'll see how the graph is tomorrow. He's the voice of the Pelicans. I'm sure he'll be professional and come on tomorrow. If they don't win tonight, he may not be in a good mood. It may be one of these previews tomorrow. Yep, game tonight, Gus. Got to win, score more points than the other team. We may get that kind of preview from him tomorrow. Willie Green spoke after practice yesterday. And he touched on a handful of different things. And yes, we have to do it because it's got to be asked, even though we know it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks in the scans and where they are, which I think, as you have heard from me, what all this is he's not in shape. And I said this, go take the rest of October off, which is the next 2 weeks, not off, but go take the rest of the month and go literally get yourself in shape. Now that he's been cleared to run, go get yourself in shape. Go play games. Go lay the ball off the glass on one end. Go lay it in on the other side. Just keep doing that. Do whatever you need to do to get in shape, and I will see you. I still have it on my sticky on the wall here. November 2nd at Phoenix, the first of four straight on the road. Don't worry about it. I'll see you till then. We'll manage. That's how I would do it. Here's Willie Green. Darn near saying the same thing.
Right now he's in like general practices. So I walk through, I warm up, and then he kind of goes and does, you know, more of his cardio and one-on-one stuff. But he's progressing. So once again, he's similar. The more information we get and updates, we'll continue to let you guys know what he is.
Hey, but just because he can't practice doesn't mean he's not involved.
Initially, it was tough for him just because he was kind of away, and then slowly but surely he's doing more, and I think he's starting to feel better about everything, about where he is, and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. So he's hands on more and more as we progress.
All right, so he's at least doing that. An interesting question will be, and we'll see again tomorrow, who's the starting five? We know Zion's out. Okay, so we know Valanciunas will start. Brandon Ingram will start. I think Devontae Graham will be your starting point guard. Who are the other two? Obviously, when Zion's back, he would be the starter. But who's starting in place of Zion? And who's starting in place, who's the next shooting guard? Is it Nah? I'm assuming it's Nickeil Alexander-Walker, right? You know me, I'd like it to be Trey Murphy. I like Trey Murphy to start. I want him to start, and I think you're going to see 25 minutes of Trey Murphy. If he doesn't start. I don't know how you don't have that guy on the floor, one way, shape, or form. There's some concern already from Pels fans, as we addressed this earlier in the week or last week with Andrew Lopez of ESPN. You never, ever, 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 ever moving forward want to be referred to as this year's Eric Bledsoe. That's how fans on Twitter have been referring to Garrett Temple. He's an NBA vet. He's an LSU Tiger. I hear you. The guy literally had trouble scoring in the preseason. Yet he started all the preseason games. So yesterday after practice, Willie Green was asked, could Garrett Temple be one of those guys trying to break into your top five, as in starter?
He is. He's definitely under consideration. A number of years in this league, experience, know-how, leader in our locker room. So you want guys like Garrett on the floor. So once again, it's been a competitive preseason in camp. We'll see what happens. We'll see where we go Wednesday with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm just playing what he said. Just playing what he said. The simple goal, I think, right now is to try to figure out who your best starting lineup is. You got to start with there, and then we'll get into the team goals. But just trying to find out who your best, the top five, is right now the main focus for Willie Green.
Yeah, it's a combination. I mean, you definitely want to start off the games well, which we haven't done. Obviously, not having Brandon, not having Jackson. Three games, no Zion. We're shuffling lineups, but all is in play. What's our best five? Who plays well together? Second unit, who's been gelling together? We want to put the best groups out there for as many minutes as we can.
All right. How deep of a rotation is head coach Willie Green going to have? How deep is that rotation? How many players can you expect to see play on a nightly basis?
Ideally, I would like to play 10, maybe 11. But you know, sometimes the games dictate otherwise. So we'll see where we are, but right now we're definitely at a 10-man rotation.
All right, so that's Willie Green saying definitely he thinks they're at a 10-man rotation right now. How about the overall simple goal as a team? What do you want to be?
Winning? No, I'm just no. With our team where we are right now, obviously we want to go into every game and give ourselves an opportunity to win games. And I think that's what this group is building towards. We're building towards taking care of the basketball offensively, getting out and playing with pace and force defensively, getting stops, rebounding. And I think that will give us a chance if we play that way. Obviously, this game, you got to make shots. So it's going to come down to those things. Every game, we want to put ourselves in a position and have an opportunity to win. We didn't do it as much as we would like during the preseason, and that's what we've been working on.
I think one of the other elements of it that's going to be interesting is how you sort of use certain players in the lineups, being involved in all those different aspects of it. Look, Najee Marshall is a guy that you got to have on the court too. He helps you defensively, he helps you offensively. He was asked after practice, does it matter if he's not quote unquote a starter?
It don't matter if I'm the 12th guy, the 6th guy, the first guy, it don't matter. Whatever.
There you go. Short and sweet and to the point. What does he want to see from himself, or what do others want to see from him, perhaps, on the staff for this season for him?
Just being a dog, you know, defensive end, offensive end, just playing as hard as I can, to be honest.
Right. And one of the things that he's happy about, obviously, is starting to finally get some guys back like Jackson Hayes and others.
Definitely good. Like I said earlier in my early interviews, we're just building chemistry. I'm trying to learn each other. And as you can see, every week it gets better. So I'm just glad, and I can't wait for Z to get back as well.
There we go. So hoping that all that gets better and changes here as well. Again, in case you missed it, Ben Simmons, he was tossed at practice today by Doc Rivers immediately after practice. The team suspended him for conduct detrimental to the team. So he's suspended for tomorrow night's season opener. And after practice, Joel Embiid was asked about the incident and his thoughts on Ben Simmons.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's those guys' jobs. You know, I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, you know, play hard every night, try to lead, you know, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, you know, our chemistry has been excellent despite, you know, everything that's been happening in the last few months. So, yeah, like I said, I don't really care.
So you go. I don't really care. Then you go. Added a little bit more to it.
But at the end of the day, our job is not to babysit somebody. You know, we here, we get paid to put juice on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for. We don't get paid to come out here and, you know, try to babysit somebody. And so that's not our job. And I'm sure my teammates feel that way.
I don't know how that guy can still be around, right? I mean, that is your best player. That is your star player. It's a guy that was competing for an MVP last season, and he is literally saying, I don't care about that man. And then adds, I'm not here to babysit anyone. How are you putting him on a bus? How are you putting him on a plane? Either you're telling him to go home and stay there, or you have to trade him. But what are you getting for that guy? Who wants him? I keep every now and then seeing Pels fans go, hey, I should do. I'm like, why? No, he can't shoot. You clearly see what kind of character this guy is. And you would want him on the Pelicans? I don't know. It's a little strange. Something else I wanted to touch on, obviously the next search for the head football coach at LSU is going to be an interesting one for sure. See all the names and all that stuff that comes out of it. Paul Feinbaum on his show yesterday was touched on two things. A, who he thinks will be the next coach, and a guy that seems to be on the top of everyone's list when they're speaking or speculating who will be or who they hear LSU would like is James Franklin, head coach for Penn State. The problem is USC apparently also, remember, they're done with their coach. They're going to be looking to pursue him as well. So Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network in the Paul Feinbaum Show simply asked, what's the better job, LSU or USC?
It's a legitimate question, and my answer is very simply LSU. Why? Because I think LSU is a standalone state. There is no competition. You cannot live entirely off of Louisiana products, but you can live well off of products just from that one state. And Ed Orgeron has lost a lot of those players. Just look at the Alabama roster. There are plenty of Louisiana kids playing. And I know the greatness of SC, and you've heard me talk about it, and I think it can be great again. But the last three LSU football coaches have won national championships. Nick Saban, of course, Les Miles, and Ed Orgeron. And when you have a program that, when Les Miles and Ed Orgeron can win national championships at your program, anybody can, because I don't think either one of them are great football coaches.
I mean, that's facts. That's just facts right there. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. That's facts. And that's a very good and interesting way to put it. The last three, now they've been 10 years and there's a lot of years in between. But yeah, you're right. The last three coaches that have coached LSU football have won national championships. Despite themselves. So who does he think will be the next head coach?
Scott Woodward was the athletic director at Washington, where he hired Peterson out there, which was a big-time hire. Didn't stay that long, but he was still a very good hire. He went to Texas A&M and hired Jimbo Fisher. Scott Woodward originally worked at LSU when Nick Saban was there, and he got to know Jimbo Fisher. I think he would like to hire Jimbo Fisher. I'm not sure that's possible. And Jimbo yesterday tried to tamp it down, but I don't think that's going to happen. So where does he go? There was a report in The Athletic by Bruce Feldman that he's going to go after Dabo Swinney. I don't put a lot of stock in that. I mean, not that I don't think he will. I just don't think Dabo will take it. Mario Cristobal's name, of course, is being mentioned. An interesting name to keep your eyes on is Mel Tucker, who is at Michigan State right now and really doing a fantastic job.
All right, so there you go. That is Paul Feinbaum's take. Coming up, it is time to go coaching, or at least talk to some coaches. Tim Rebo, Willie Fritz, Frank Selfo, all ahead. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover Hour 2 on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Did you boogie with your baby in the back row of the movie show? And did you boogie there because you had nowhere else that you could go? And when the lights went way down low, did you forget about the picture show?
Imagine it. A first-class resort in Slidell on the lakefront called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. We're talking up to 250 rooms and St. Tammany's first real convention center, big enough for special events, weddings, or even Mardi Gras balls. Relax at the luxury spa, swimming pools, or drift in the lazy river. And listen to this. An outdoor amphitheater will bring major concerts to Slidell and get used for community events too, like graduations and farmers markets. Eat it up at 7 different restaurants, from casual to fine dining, even a brand new Slidell marina. Pull up in your boat and get in on the fun. Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Together, we make it happen by voting yes. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Get more information at thenorthshorewinds.com. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24/7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at josepsic@viscom.net.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
As always on Tuesdays, welcome in the head coach of the Nichols Colonels. Football program can be followed over on Twitter at @Nichols_FB. And, of course, go Colonels.com on the Athletic website. Coach, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Gus. Good to talk to you today.
Hey, it was nice, obviously, getting maybe perhaps a little football weather to sort of practice in last week and kind of get things going and turned around this week.
Yeah, I thought it was a good week. We were looking forward to that, checking out the weather, heading over to San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I thought we had a good trip on Friday, getting there, and the weather turned for us. We had 11 o'clock kickoff. It was about 70 degrees. You couldn't ask for anything more. And I'll tell you this, we got off to a hot start, and then we kind of fizzled a little bit in that second half.
Yeah, Coach, I guess you did touch on it last week that I wouldn't say you were concerned, but you said it could be something, the trip and the travel. Then you had the early kickoff and everything. Do you think that maybe contributed to the second half? Because you guys had 7 in the first quarter, 14 in the second. Y'all were up 21-14 at halftime, and they didn't score again in the second half.
No, I really don't. I don't think it was a trip. It was too good. We got to rest early. We talked about that on Thursday. We rested on Friday night. I thought we were okay. Mm-hmm. We just did some things that we didn't execute. And I'll tell you, it's that old thing in football called momentum, you know, and they got a little momentum on us, and we couldn't seem to turn it around in that second half.
Obviously, one of the things that you – prep for is maybe game plans and things of that nature. How often do you think that sort of happens where you see something like, oh, here we go? I mean, like, how quickly, I guess, is what I'm asking, Coach, can you make in-game adjustments? Is it easy to make in-game adjustments on things?
I think it is. I mean, I think you can try to control some things. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have some good guys in a box and some good guys on the field that see some things that are going on. So, I thought the staff did a good job. I thought the players knew what we were getting. It was just something, you know, we turned that ball over again,
right,
which has been an Achilles heel for us that we got to be able to get corrected. You know, you don't want to talk about that too much and try to press too much when it's going that way. But, hey, Gus, you're getting a game and you turn the ball over 4 times in various ways, and then you don't get any. It's really hard to beat anybody at any level.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you look at the box score, I mean, that is the one thing. It's almost like a neon sign, isn't it?
Right, right. And when you look at, look, I'm not a total stats guy, but I think stats are important. When you look at the yardage and you look at the game and you look at the time of possession, I mean, it is. The game could have easily swung the other way, you know, and been in our favor. But when you put that big 4-0 up there, you're not going to win many games doing it that way.
Because, Coach, when you look at the statistics, I mean, you guys rushed for 222 yards. You had 28 first downs to their 19. So stats tell me you moved the football. You just couldn't get points on the board, and obviously the turnovers were a reason.
Yeah, well, you know, it was the thing about the game was it was back and forth and back and forth. We were up 21-14 at halftime. They scored in the third quarter, making 21-21, but it was a tie ball game going into the fourth quarter. And we had the ball on about that 30-yard line. We throw a pick. They score. They get a later field goal. And that last touchdown, Gus, was a, you know, we were attempting to make it. We put the ball on the ground, and they got a cheap one right there at the end to make it 38. But, you know, getting shut out in the second half is nothing good. I thought defense did some good things. That quarterback is really good. We probably faced, you know, the last 2 weeks when you look at,
right,
excuse me, Cole Kelly at Southeastern and Cameron Ward over at UIW, probably two of the best in the country this year.
I think one of the things that you like to see, wins or losses, is consistent play. And, you know, again, I think this is definitely a theme this season, huh? Your receiver, Dejon Dixon, 13th career 100-yard game here as well. He had 9 receptions, 120 yards. It is nice, though, isn't it, as a coach, as a quarterback, to know week in and week out, I mean, this guy's capable of a 100-yard game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a go-to guy. And I think the other thing that's amazing about his stat and him catching the football is a lot of times it's no secret. Everybody knows where the ball is going to be going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Including right. Defensive coordinators and defensive players. You know, they understand, and he's still able to get his catches and get his yards, and it's good to have that weapon out there.
All right, Coach, so you turn the page, and that's what we do here, turn the page Tuesday. Yet you're turning the page to go back and look at a game that you've already played. A little strange to be facing HBU just a couple weeks ago in the opener over there. You play in the Southland. You beat them 48-17 back over at Guidry Stadium. But 3 weeks later, you're going to face them again, this time in Houston.
We talked about it as a staff, and when we got together Sunday with the players, and it seemed like it was a long time ago. You know, we didn't play 2 games since then, and it was a game that was here. It was light and delayed. The game seemed like it was 3 weeks that night. You know, it was that long. But, yeah, you know, there's a familiarity between us and them now, playing them over the last 6 years and now playing them again. But they're a little bit different. You know, they're doing a some different personnel. They'll have a different quarterback. They're doing some different things on with the offensive line at running back position. So it's going to be a challenge for us to go over there. You know, you guys can't go say, oh, we just, you know, it's a 1 week at a time, man. You can't go say, oh, we beat them 3 weeks ago. It's going to be, you know, easy for us. Nobody ever thinks that. So we got to get our guys ready. But, again, the old coach taught me and you talk about, it's going to be about preparation this week, being in the right mindset, and having a good week of practice.
How much do coaches look at, especially like this, like in a previous meeting, how much do you take of that game plan and then kind of do the old, well, if I'm them, I'm going to counter with this, so I need to counter with that? Or do you go with, well, this worked the first time, so let's start here and then, you know, adjust to see if they adjust? How much, I guess, of that old game plan, especially one that was successful, do you go back and work with sometimes when you look at games like this?
I would think the latter. You know, you look at it and say, hey, it worked last time. You go, all right, could they possibly line up like this way again to this?
Right.
You know, and then of course, you're going to see it. And if they do, you say, hey, we might have success to deal with. But you got to be ready to adjust. I mean,
sure.
I think the good programs, so you're going to do what you do, mm-hmm. you know, and we're going to go out there and do what we do up front. Lindsey's going to try to do what we do with the ball in the air. Defensively, we got to make some adjustments and not give up some big plays. But I think overall, you got to do what you do, and then say, "Hey, man, I don't think they're going to come up with a totally different defense from 3 weeks from now." You're going
right.
You go back and look at how you played them, and then you also look at what they've done the last 2 weeks, and they're the same team doing a lot of the same thing.
Okay, so when you went back though and looked at that film, what was one thing that kind of gave you fits, a headache, or something that you got to be prepared for to work on that helped them get some of those points in that 48-17 win?
I think when you look at it on the defensive side of the ball, we got to look at it. They're a big tempo team, and they got another quarterback in there who's trying to go fast-paced, and they're trying to spread you out a little bit. So that has a little bit of concern that, you know, if you don't get lined up and you don't get ready to go, they have the potential to hit some big plays. And then offensively, I was pleased with the way we ran the football. And hopefully, you know, we can get the big offensive lineman going and continue to do it again on Saturday.
Coach, you take a look at it, and not many games left, huh? It's nuts when you think of how quickly the season's starting to kind of move along here. And obviously, look, SLU's there at the top of the standing and stuff, but a lot of your goals are still sort of there, right? I mean, the next five games, three are on the road, two will be at home, but I think you have faced these teams already, so you kind of know what you're doing. A lot of your goals are still ahead of you.
Yeah, and I still think it's got to be the one-game mentality. I mean, you know, these guys can't go and say, well, I'm looking forward to the Thursday night game of playing Southeastern again. You know, that's where you get yourself in trouble.
Right.
We have some goals on what we want to do with the winning season and let the chips fall where they may. And we told the team this right now. And look, no secret, we're 2-4. That's the past, though. You can't change the past. We can only prepare for the future. And I said, after this week, we got to be 3-4, you know, and then we can get back to being 2-2 in the conference and then move on to the next week. And that's got to be the mindset to do. But, you know, to do that, you got to play a little bit better than you've been playing at certain times of the game, and that's going to be the big goal this week.
Head coach Team Rainbow, each and every Tuesday, we'll talk a little Colonels football. You can go check them out online. GoColonels.com, and of course his team will be at Houston 6 p.m. At least it won't be at 11 a.m., Coach. You can kind of sleep in a bit on game day and bring home a win. Good luck, and thank you, Coach. We'll talk again next Tuesday.
Okay, guys, thanks.
As always, at @Nichols_FB is the way to follow them over on Twitter. I'll get a brief minute here to remind you, hey, we've done it with football. Let's do it now with basketball. Download the DraftKings app and away you go. The crossovers, the jumpers, the throwdowns, the putbacks, you name it. Basketball is back. So, one of the best ways to enjoy action back on the hardwood, let's do fantasy, make some money using the NBA's players, right? Stay under the salary cap, rack up some points, three-pointers, rebounds, assists, you know how this goes, and then you can score some big cash. Win free shots at millions of dollars in total prizes. And remember, DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit, withdraw the money whenever you want. This isn't an app run by Jordan. Not that he's not completely trustworthy. I'm just, you know, letting you know. DraftKings, that's what they do. So download the DraftKings app. make sure you put in the code LaRose as well. If you haven't done it, you're interested, you want to see what it's all about, it's a minimum $5 deposit and away you go. It's just you set up your lineups, stay under their salary cap, and you can make some money. It's actually really fun. So do it. And if you do it, please put in the code LaRose, and that will enter you and give you a free shot at millions in total prizes with that first deposit just by doing that. Quick break. We come back. Schedule here from head coach Willie Fritz. I see the phone ringing. It's likely him. We'll talk Greenway football when we come back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Get Macy's lowest prices of the season on furniture, mattresses, and rugs specials. Kick back on a Lily fabric sofa for $579. Sit down to the new Aberdeen 5-piece dining set, now $1,049. And stretch out on the Canyon Queen bed, just $339. Plus, get 50 to 60% off select Simmons and Sealy mattresses. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Hey there, I'm Lance Bass, and this is Chip. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been on the front lines protecting animals in times of crisis. From Pearl Harbor to 9/11, the California wildfires, and the coronavirus pandemic, American Humane Rescue has provided life-saving assistance for animals in virtually every major national disaster. If you're anything like me, your pets mean the world to you. And if disaster strikes, you want to keep them safe. To prepare for an oncoming disaster, ensure your pet has secure and up-to-date identification. And if you must evacuate, remember to take your disaster preparedness kit with you. To learn more about disaster planning and how to keep your best friends safe, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Each and every Tuesday, we thank head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave for joining us to talk about his football team. You can always go check it out, TulaneGreenWave.com, the athletic website, and of course, Green Wave FB to follow them over on Twitter. Willie, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Gus?
Doing well, man. Can I touch on some non-football related news? Yet it's football related news in the conference. You're seeing obviously all of the chatter and now I guess looks like official applications of as many as six schools to make the American Conference a little bit bigger. Do you guys pay attention to that? I mean, obviously it won't be until you guys play them, but is that something as coaches of part of the conference that y'all do pay attention to that y'all could be getting in? Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, UTSA, Rice, and UAB, it looks like.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. You know, I know there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes, you know, things going on with conference alignment. And, you know, we had a few schools that, you know, made a move here a few weeks back. And I know we're looking to expand a little bit to get a number where, you know, the, of teams that are, you know, representative of our conference and our league and what we're trying to do with, you know, being the top, one of the top conferences in NCAA Division I football. So sounds like this is the direction they're heading. I guess we'll find out by the end of the week.
Coach, I know a lot of times when I ask coaches things like this, a lot of times I'll get a, you know, it's above my pay grade to go into it in terms of that. But I ask that because look, whether when it comes to recruiting or how you talk about it with your team and your players here as well, I always wonder how much do coaches communicate with their athletic directors? I think successful relationships go hand in hand with that, right? And hey, how would you like me to approach this meeting or talk? Or, you know, is it one of those where Troy just goes, Willie, this is what we're doing? Or do you ever get asked to have some input on different things that the conferences talk about?
You know, I just got done talking to him about an hour ago.
There you go. There you go.
I had a couple of people ask me when they were when I was coming off the field, you know, media day and things. And you know, the other schools, we're just so different. You know, if it is in fact true that Rice is joining the conference, you know, that would be the really only similar school to Tulane. Where, you know, the academic prowess we have here at Tulane, we're quite a bit different than the other schools in the conference as far as admission requirements and things like that. So, you know, I think we're just wanting to find the very best competition football-wise. It really comes down to athletics and, you know, what schools are, you know, obviously one school has a great reputation and things like that, but also schools that, you know, will help your brand out. You know, some of those schools I know have got incredible facilities and large schools. You know, some of those schools are, you know, 40, 50,000 students. You know, so, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, all the T's, when the T's get dotted, you know, the T's get crossed and the I's get dotted. And right. I think they're doing that at the end of the week, according to Troy.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, it's going to be a year or so and all that other stuff for the schedules to come out. But I've always wanted to know what it's like, because we on the media look at it this way, fans will approach it, but I've always wondered from a coaching perspective, because it does, right, affect, I guess, recruiting. You have a couple of extra Texas teams. I know you bring in guys from there. You have to try to secure more in state, things of that nature, all of that when you have more. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on it. I'm sure you'll talk more about it as, you know, December and February come. But, Coach, your football team, 1-5, not where you want to be. You've had a bye week. What did you guys focus on after that tough loss to Houston?
Well, we just wanted to get ourselves as well as we can, you know, mentally and physically. We took a little bit of time off. We lifted and ran and had one practice last week, and then we jumped back into it on Saturday and went Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You know, we're going to go tomorrow with our standard day before game practice and fly out tomorrow afternoon to Dallas. So got some guys healed up. We were pretty banged up after the Ole Miss game. And you know, we got some guys coming back that haven't been able to play to their standard or not at all the last few weeks. So that'll be exciting. It'll provide us with some more depth.
Now, obviously, the next 2 weeks will be facing ranked opponents, the Bearcats, in 2 weeks, SMU. They'll move up to number 21. When you take a look at that program and what you'll be facing on Thursday, why are they playing the way they are at 6-0?
They've done a great job, you know, offensively, you know, defensively. They're playing sound in the kicking game. They've done a super job of getting a lot of transfer guys into school that are, you know, really helping them. They've blended in with their players that they had, and great wide receivers, outstanding quarterback transfer from Oklahoma. You know, they've got an experienced offensive line, great tailback. He's been out the last couple of weeks, but I think he could be playing against us on Thursday. And, you know, defensively, they've been a little bit of bend but don't break, but they've, you know, played well over on that side of the ball too, and got a real good return game. So just a lot of talented athletes and really doing a good job of meshing the high school guys with the transfer guys. They've got quite a few of them there. They all seem to be really good players.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking with head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave, Nichols head coach Tim Rebola, with their offenses they face, hey, do you almost have to look at it for yourself? Do you always have to look at a game at 30 points in terms of offensively? And the reason I bring that up, SMU's ranked 33rd in scoring offense, and they average 32.8 points a game. I just always wonder, if you look at now the way college football is 30 points like the bare minimum? Like, do you have to try to score and be an offense in the team that can score 30?
A lot different than it was before. You know, back
right.
In the old days, you'd have goal of, you know, 14 points or less. You know, and there's not very many people holding their opponent to 14 points or less. I guess Georgia, you know, right. is, but, you know, it's tough to do that. So, in this day and age, you know, you got to have a philosophy. And, you know, it's either, you know, you're going to control the ball, you know, through running it. And,
that's what I was going to say, yep.
You know, running the clock, or you're a team that you can explode and score a bunch of points. And you know, you're going to get in the shootout. You know, you saw Ole Miss in the Arkansas game, you know, the other day. It was, you know, high-scoring affair. And whoever had the ball last probably was going to win the ball game. You know, so, yeah, you're right. It's different than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago when, you know, you found a team that averaged over 30 points. That was very rare nowadays. You got quite a few of them that do.
And I bring that up because it sort of attaches to what we've seen so far this season with your team. The ability to be able to run the football, how key is that, right? I mean, they can't score if they don't have and possess the football. I know back in the day when Drew Brees was here with the Saints, he loved 10-11 play drives. Is that kind of a key for your football team to kind of start turning the season around, getting production or more production out of the backfield?
Yeah, we need to, without question. That's, you know, exactly what you said. If we're on offense, they're not scoring. You know, it's very rare when that happens also. So we got to do a better job running the football. I feel like we've got some good backs. We've ran the ball extremely well here the last few years. I think I had 6 years we played football here at Tulane. I think top five rushing seasons. You know, we've got four of them. So we need to do a much better job running the football, and you know that includes the offensive line, quarterback, the backs, you know, the tight ends, the wideouts making blocks downfield. It turns a, you know, a 10-yard gain into 30-40 yard big time run. So we do have to get better in that area.
It's rare the bye comes literally at the midway point of a season, right? You got six games left here. What was, I guess, a message knowing for the next six? Is it, hey, don't worry about the first six, and these next six really can determine what kind of season we're going to have?
I just told the guys, hey, we're flushing the first half down the season, toilet. You know, we had a strange, you know, and you probably got done talking to Frank and Tim, and I know they experienced you know, a different – the beginning of the season as well, you know, and we're in a hotel for 27 nights. Everything was different, but you know, hey, that's over with. We're back to normal now. We've been on campus here for a few weeks. We need to play our best ball. We need to really salvage some positive things this last half of the season. You know, we need to start that this Thursday evening against SMU.
And we'll wrap up with that, Coach. Give me a key or two to pay attention to when people turn on ESPN at 6:30 on Thursday. What do we need to see for the Wave to come out victorious?
You know, I talk about it all the time, turnover, takeaway margin. We need to be plus one, plus two. We haven't done a good job in that area. I've, you know, in my career as a head football coach, you know, when we've been plus one or better, we've won 90% of our games. Mm-hmm. You know, we're minus eight for the season right now, which is not good. So we got to do a much better job of hanging on football, making good decisions, having great ball security. And then also we got to get some takeaways. We're not doing a great job of getting takeaways. We've dropped some easy interceptions. We need to take advantage of those when they throw it to us. That'll be a big key to the game, being plus in the turnover takeaway margin.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Coach, when you give us a little time here on Tuesdays at Green Wave FB is the way you can follow Tulane football on Twitter, TulaneGreenWave.com, the athletic website. As always, we cover football and even conference realignment as well with head coach Willie Fritz. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Gus. Roll Wave.
And again, that game on Thursday will be at 6:30 over on ESPN, another nationally televised game for them here as well. In case you are just chiming in and joining us here on the show, there is some big news out of the NBA. Ben Simmons tossed. Doc Rivers threw him out of practice. Conduct detrimental to the team. He's been suspended for tomorrow night's season opener. Christian Clark will touch on that. He covers the Pelicans for the Picayune and the Advocate. That's at Dean. Coming up next, though, Frank Selfo. Time to line up. We'll talk a little Lions football with him as well. We return on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. And I might be moving on. Now I believe in what you say is the undisputed truth.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Ilario Center in West Wego. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry, and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Ilario Center in West Wego to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure is shooting. Don't miss it.
Your Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking. Served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know, no doubt he had to enjoy it Saturday. Head coach Frank Selfo of your Southeastern Lions, not only because, coach, you got the win, 61-24, but the sights, the smells of a home game in Strawberry Stadium, man. First off, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, Gus, I'm doing great, man. You're right, though, just to be at home. Like Darcy said, there is no place like home, man. It was awesome.
I guess give us a little taste of what it was like, Coach, to actually be back on your stadium and get the sights and sounds and then have your football team play the way they did in that 61-24 win.
Yeah, we you know, we walked through the Lion Walk, and it was really electric. I mean, all the tailgating spots were sold out. The atmosphere was just you could feel the energy from all the fans and alumni that had come back expecting us to play well, wanting to see what we were doing. And, you know, the high fives, the autographs, the pictures taken. It was just – it was great to see our guys go through that. And, you know, after being on the road all season. And you could feel it when we got in the locker room. Man, it just – you kind of have to go in there and calm them down a little bit. And then we ran out the tunnel. You know, you could feel it. The student section was packed. They opened up some extra spaces. We had to move the band down. The home section was filled up.
Nice.
I don't know. It was just a great environment. You could feel the energy, the electricity from our fans and in the stadium. And, you know, you could tell our players were feeding off of it, which they do. We want to make Strawberry Stadium one of those places where people just don't want to come in here to play.
Well, one, you can do that in several ways, right? Having the guys on the football field that can get people excited is one thing. Putting up 634 yards of offense, that helps as well. And, look, you said it. You said it last week when I asked you. I said about the tweets and stuff. You're like, hey, we have a brand of football and some guys out here that you should come see that are really good in college football, right?
We do, and I'm really proud of them. And I don't mind showcasing them. You know, I think that when you have an opportunity to coach a group like this who has gone through it, look, they've gone through a lot of adversity between COVID and Hurricane Ida and everything else, playing a spring season and bouncing back and adjusting the workouts over the summertime and still grinding away. There's some special things going on. But for having an opportunity to come see them and watch them and spend time and getting to know them, I just think it's priceless. And when you have that taking place so close to home, come watch it. Come see it. And like I said, if you don't like it, don't come back. But I think you will. I think you'll like it. You'll enjoy what's going on.
It doesn't hurt when your team is a top 10 team in the FCS polls. You guys climbed up to number 9, first time since 2014.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's all fun, and I think it's great we get some recognition. But it's a good thing, and I didn't understand this before I got to FCS football.
Mm-hmm.
The polls really, I'm not saying they don't mean anything, but we settle everything on the field. We get a playoff system of 24 mm-hmm. teams, and if you're fortunate enough to get in there, you got to go play and you got to win to advance, and it doesn't matter where you're ranked. And we went through that in 2019. We were able to win here at home against Villanova, and we won on the road to Montana and got beat up there. And there's some finality in that. There's no bowl game. There's no bowl watches. There's none of that stuff. We don't right. celebrate all that. You go play. And if you win, you keep going. And you lose, you go home, and it's over. And I think that's where, I really like it. I love the way this thing's set up. I think it lends itself for the competitive character of individuals to come out. Not that the polls aren't good. It's
sure.
fun. You always like to get patted on the back. But the playoff system, I think, is where everything's going to be decided.
No doubt. I was going to say, Head Coach Frank Selfie, you kind of come across as somebody that kind of likes like that. I love it, too. It's always baffled me that in the bowl series or whatever, you know, what used to be D1 is decided by either computers or robots or people who have agendas or whatever. Like, it's football. Like, you build a sport of testosterone and go get them and kill them and, you know, get beat the man across from you. But when it comes to deciding who should play for a title, well, let things not on the field settle it. I've never understood that. Like, equestrian in the NCAA is settled by a competition. Why wouldn't that be? So I do get this. Now, that said, being ranked in the polls the way they are, it does help you, as you say, you want to avoid Montana. You don't want to go play in the, you know, in those weathers. And you want to, as you just said, make Strawberry Stadium a place onto your own. So it's important to keep winning. It's important to look good and keep strong.
Exactly. You know, one of those, the national seeds get a bye the first week. And
right.
Then they get a home game next week. So it is critical to be able to play well during the course of the season, win the games you have to win, and put yourself in position to get one of those national seeds. And I think in 19, if we had won the last game, we were going to get one of those national seeds. We didn't, but we did get a home game to start the process off with. So, Sam Houston this past spring won a national championship. They played every one of the playoff games at home. Mm-hmm. So when you have that advantage to be able to play at home, get a seed and play at home, and it's a huge advantage not having to travel somewhere else. And we'd love to have Montana, anybody else up north, come on down and visit the friendly confines of Strawberry Stadium. I'd love to see them down here.
Yeah, a little different, obviously, than doing that as well. You guys are at the top of the standings now with UIW, Incarnate Word, also 3-0 conference play, also 5-1. We'll worry about them coming up in a couple of weeks, because I know that's what you would tell me. If I asked you to tell me about them, like, I'm not worried about that, Gus. I'm worried about Northwestern State. That is the next game, Saturday, 3 p.m. What can you tell us about the Demons?
Yeah, it's exactly what I'd be telling you, because I don't know anything about you right now. We got Northwestern. This is the regular schedule that we had. We were supposed to play them earlier this year, but our field was still damaged from Ida. So we had to kick that game back to the end of the year. So this is one that we're going up there for their homecoming. It's a team desperate to win. They want to win. They played us really well in the spring, and I'm sure they got a lot of confidence they can beat us there at their place. So our preparation this week is what's going to help decide that game. If we prepare like we need to and do things that we need to do this week in practice, then I feel good that we'll play well on Saturday. And that's where it is. So everything for us revolves around practice. How we prepare for the game. Yesterday was a good day. We need to stack another one on top today and then go work that all the way through the week and then be ready to go on Saturday.
It's easy, right, to get up for teams that have a certain record. They were 5-1. If they're a top of the conference, they're ranked. Do you ever get nervous or not nervous, or is it harder from a coaching staff perspective to keep, I guess, teams focus that way, or is that where you lean on and depend on Cole Kelly, the seniors, the guys that have, you know, been around enough to understand the importance of, hey, games that you can go get or should go get, you need to go get. It's not ones you relax on.
Yeah, I think so, but I think it's and the secondary portion to that is how you prepared all summer and fall camp.
Gotcha.
How did you practice? How were you ready to you weren't playing anybody that Saturday, and you still had, you know, you had a scrimmage going on, or
true.
You just had another practice. How did you prepare during the course of that week? And so we gear our players. We start that a long time ago, when that practice is everything. That your effort at practice is the way that you take it from the meeting room to the practice field and apply it there. All of those things matter. And then when they don't come out right, you know, you apply that to the game and say, this is why you're not traveling. This is why you're not playing. This is why you're not starting. This is why you're not getting enough reps. Your practice habits are what's going to prepare you to play well in the games on Saturday. And so our guys get that. And we don't look forward to Saturday. That's not where we're going. We're looking at Tuesday right now. And we want to have today's practice and have the best one we've ever had. And then we build it off of that.
All right. Well, look, you're on the road again, but at least it's in-state. And then you'll stay in-state next yeah. week. As three of your last four. How important is that, though? I know you're not looking ahead, but I'm just talking in the greater picture. Having just played a home game, and you described the atmosphere, what it was like, knowing the bigger games are going to be coming up because it's the next one, right? So to know that right. you're going to be able to have three of your final four at home, that's got to be something that you're looking forward to.
It is, and our players are looking forward to it. But we also know that an injury could take place, and we didn't expect COVID to show up when it did. And
true.
It could all be taken away from us in a moment. And so everything is you know, I know it sounds like coach speak, but it's not. It's the truth. Everything is focused on this weekend, and really is focused on today to get prepared for Northwestern and, you know, push everything forward to this Saturday, and then we'll figure it out after that. But you just got to – if you get too far ahead, man, things got to stay in your lane. Things get out of whack if you start doing all those things. So you just got to stay in your lane, stay focused, keep between the mustard and the mayo, and keep going down the road, because you're going to get there eventually, and you want to hit as few potholes as you can.
That was a tremendous sentence. Mustard, mayo, potholes. You've definitely been around Louisiana a long time. 5-1 overall, 3-0 in conference play. That's the head coach, Frank Selfo. He joins us on Tuesdays. We always enjoy the conversation. Go give them a follow on Twitter, @LionUpFootball as well. Coach, looking forward to our next conversation in a week. Thank you.
Myself, guys. I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you all so much.
Yep, for sure. Go check that out. And, of course, they've pinned it at the very top. It was something that they put out back on October 14th, a really cool piece with Cole Kelly, the quarterback, saying that he found his love for football again over in Hammond, America. Come find yours. I love what they're doing over there. I love the branding. I love how they're getting people excited about that. And, again, 634 yards to 634 yards, folks. They got an offense over there, and they're winning. Should be fun the next couple of weeks. Hour two is in the books. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to what happened in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons tossed. Doc Rivers kicking him out of practice. He's been suspended by the team for the season opener. So he will not be on the airplane, or I guess if they are, I mean, he's not playing tomorrow against your Pelicans. Hear from Willie Green, hear from Christian Clark as well. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines if you want to chime into the conversation. It's real simple. And answer our question of the day. It's a poll question. Are the Pelicans a playoff team, a play-in team, or will they miss the playoffs? It's a poll question. It's real simple. At ESPN Radio NOLA, because the NBA season starts today. Two games on tap. Nets and Bucks at 6:30. And then at 9 o'clock, it's the Warriors and Lakers. 9 o'clock over on TNT. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.